I want to begin today with an important biblical question. How is it that the people of God, created, called, the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, watched over for generations, led out of slavery from Egypt, found themselves wandering for years in the desert wilderness, how is it that these people could actually become a unified people among other peoples in a region? How is it that a ragtag bunch could become a holy nation? How is it that a wandering, amorphous, unstable, tribal group easily open to idolatry and syncretism and barbarism, how could they actually evolve into a centralized, stable monarchy, legitimate theologically and politically in the region? Do you know the answer to that? The answer to how this transition takes place is found in two books of the Bible, the books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Prior to these books, God's people are a wandering, complaining, troubled group with ongoing suspicion about their future. Prior to these two books, they had plenty of challenges. They're going to have more, but they had plenty of challenges in regard to idolatry, in regard to their identity, and in regard to their chances of success as God's people. You can read all about this in Genesis and Exodus and all the books through Joshua and Judges. And then we get to 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And then after 1 and 2 Samuel, we have a centralized monarchy. We have people established in the land. We have credibility, stability. Major transition. It's unfolding in those two books, 1 and 2 Samuel. So here we are again, the beginning of 2018, sitting in these sacred pews underneath these fantastic hammer beams. We've gathered our hearts where people have gathered for generations, and we're opening our hearts to God's Spirit that we might actually become the people God calls us to be. Here we are praying, singing, affirming God's presence and Spirit at work in our midst, and we're just hoping and working on this idea that we might become too the kind of people God calls us to be. People who can trust God amidst the challenges and heartaches that come our way. People who can live with kindness and love every day more and more in the world. And people who can work for justice and be partners with God in the coming of God. To become. How are we going to become the kind of people God calls us to be? There's a wonderful story at the beginning of 1 Samuel that has great importance to God's people as they make this transition from a ragtag bunch to a stable monarchy in the region. And this story has some major insights for our lives as we seek to move from who we are to what God might have us be. The story involves a boy. His name is Samuel. And Samuel emerges as the authorized leader of God's people in a very critical time. Samuel and his leadership is what gets the people to this new place, this established place from an amorphous, idolatrous, barbaric, struggling, complaining group of people to a centralized, legitimized monarchy. What happens with Samuel can be helpful to us. We first meet Samuel in 1 Samuel 1. He was born to his troubled mother, a woman named Hannah. In response to this lovely gift of a child to Hannah, Hannah promises Samuel, her son, to God. This is what she says. As long as he lives, he will be given to God. Then when we get to 1 Samuel 3, Samuel is a young boy and he's living and serving God alongside Eli, the chief priest in the temple and one of the main leaders of God's people. Listen to what 1 Samuel 3 says. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." "Go and lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told Eli everything and hid nothing from him. And then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I know you've heard that wonderful and beautiful phrase, "The Lord is doing a new thing." Right? You've heard that. Here's one of the major turning points in the Bible when God is doing a new thing. Eli and his leadership, and especially Eli's sons and their leadership, were causing quite a mess for God and God's beloved people. So as God often does, God shifts gears and God announces that things are going to go a different way. The boy Samuel grew in nature, in stature, and in favor with the Lord. And Samuel was called to be God's authorized leader, leading the people in a new way. And Samuel's leadership is what launches God's wandering, troubled, floundering people towards stability and credibility and legitimacy, as we read about in the scriptures. This is a story about hearing God's voice. This is a story about recognizing that God is real and God is at work in our lives and in the world. And this is a story about listening and striving to do what God would have us do. This is a critical step in the people becoming who they're called to be. And this is obviously critical to all of us as we seek to move toward becoming all that God would have us be. Loving, kind, faithful, justice, peaceful people promoting God's purposes. And there's something particularly fascinating to me about this story. God says in verse 11, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears tingle." The word tingle is mentioned three times in the Bible. It's an interesting word with an interesting message. Normally, when we hear, our ears don't tingle. Our ears receive words, and they are translated, transferred to our brain, and all of this is important communication, right? But if our ears hear and they tingle, something else is going on. Certain words, certain moments trigger physical and emotional parts within us. Then we know something significant is happening. Our senses are awakened in a new way. It's not just hearing. Our senses are awakened. Our hearts are moved and engaged. Our lives are lured somewhere. It's not just hearing. It's transformation. It's not just comprehension of words. It is a message touching us and moving us, moving our hearts, our minds, our souls, our wills, all of us in a new and deeper and more significant way. When Samuel realized that God was speaking, he knew for sure that his life had a particular mission and a particular focus. He would be a leader of God's people, replacing Eli, working on the mess, helping God guide God's people to a better destiny. 1 and 2 Samuel tell this story. God's people transition to a stable, unified, legitimate monarchy. It doesn't mean everything gets figured out. There'll be more problems along the way, but that happens. In our first lesson, we heard about another person whom God encountered. Jesus, along with Philip, approached a person named Nathanael, who said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Jesus speaks in this passage directly to Nathanael and says, "I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathanael responds with total awe and says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God." It doesn't say it in the passage, but I bet Nathanael's ears were tingling, right? It was an encounter. It was an engagement. It was way more than just hearing and seeing something happening. His heart, his soul, his body were touched so much that he was moved to speak and affirm faith and then follow Jesus. He was put on a new path toward becoming all that God would have him be. This is instructive for all of us. We live in very complicated times. We wonder about civility. We wonder about dignity. We wonder about integrity. We wonder about what's decent. Most of us stay quite busy going to work and juggling priorities and making ends meet. And many of us have creeping health issues. And others of us are carrying around great and personal heartache about something going on with our loved ones. And some of us are facing very challenging transitions. And many of us have important jobs to do that get so much of our energy, and we're trying to support our children, and we're trying to tend to our parents, and we're trying to maintain some balance and some sanity when all these worries keep percolating around us with so many things. And we live in a contentious world. We have growing disparity between rich and poor. We have increasing suspicion and animosity among nations. We have anger and unrest, and our seeming inability to make progress on important issues like immigration or health care or climate change or peace or wholeness or schools, you name it. The great Saint Augustine says this: there's no saint without a past. There's no sinner without a future. God is always working on all of us, shaping us to live and love and serve as God's faithful people in the world. And just as God spoke to Samuel with life-changing messages that would begin a new thing for God's people, God is always speaking to us. Not just words, but hoping our ears are going to tingle and our lives will be engaged and our hearts will be changed and we will become the kind of people God calls us to be. It's not just about hearing. It's about being continually transformed as we move more and more toward the kind of people God calls all of us to be. We keep journeying with God toward God's promised purposes and promised reign: peace, love, kindness, light, justice for you, for all people everywhere. When we really hear, our ears tingle. And you know what? We know we can trust God. We know we can trust God with the very things that are beating us up every day. When our ears tingle, we know we can trust God who says, "I'll never leave you. I'll be with you forever." Trust God with our personal issues, with our national worries, with our international crises. As with Samuel, as with Nathaniel, God knows our names. Your name, my name. God understands our struggles. God meets us in the mess, and God has plans for my life, your life, our lives together. And as with Samuel and Nathaniel, we're part of God's unfolding purposes. We all are, as God's presence and purposes are meant to be lived out in us, through us, in all the moments of our lives. God's important calling is not so much what we do with our lives, it's how we do everything. Not what we do, but how we do everything. How do we embody God's presence and God's care in our homes, in our church, in our places of work, as we encounter others? How do we share God's love and kindness? Show God's compassion for those whom we meet every day with the way we move through the day. How do we promote God's goodness? How do we stand up for justice, advocate for what God wants in the whole world with grace in the little things, in the big things of our lives? This is what God calls us to be about as disciples, all of us, as people who live for the kingdom, as people who know God and seek to make God known all our days. This is our calling. Catherine gave me a book for Christmas. It's one of my favorite Christmas gifts. It's the newest book by Gregory Boyle. It's entitled Barking to the Choir. We've talked about Gregory Boyle before, Catherine and I, around this church. Gregory Boyle is a Catholic priest who lives in Los Angeles, who leads Homeboy Industries Incorporated, the largest gang intervention, rehab, and reentry program in the world. In one passage of the book, Boyle writes this. Often enough, folks will say that one door closes and another opens. But sometimes there's a hallway, a grace period before people find the next door. At Homeboy Industries, I tell our senior staff that part of our task is to line the hallway. Line the hallway to make that distance stretching between the old and the new versions of oneself a comforting one. We encourage and cajole with constant tenderness as the tentative soul takes steps toward the fullness of becoming. The hallway can be long, and the lure to return to an old, tired, but known and safe version can be very compelling. Our mutual and those who line the hallway haven't fully arrived either. Our mutual accompaniment with each other along the way pulls us all over the finish line. It's about the rehab of the soul. We all line the hallway on this good journey, wanting to help each other hear and have our ears tingle with the loving words and the presence of God calling our names. We keep striving to line the hallway and encourage and cajole each other to offer our best selves to God's very important work in the world, spreading love, spreading hope, spreading kindness, spreading peace, spreading justice. We keep striving to help each other find ways to live more fully as God's servants. That means trusting God in the hardest moments. That means sharing kindness and tenderness that brings happiness. That means advocating for peace and justice in the face of a contentious and complex world. This is how we all become what God made us to be. This is how we get closer and closer to the promised reign of God. Here's how Martin Luther King put it. You've already heard this. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you going to do for others? He also said, every person must decide whether he or she will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. He also said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. May our lives tingle with a fresh sense of God's presence and promises all around us. And may we rededicate our lives today, lining the hallway to partnering with God in doing new things that promote the love and justice, the light and hope of Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. We believe, O God, help our unbelief and show us the way to the loving kingdom of Christ our Lord. Amen.